Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, five lines from the top. Hahu the Karamine. There was a person that with a Shchimera that wrote a shtar and he gave it over to somebody and he also made a kinyan. And now he, Baruch Hashem, got better. And he wanted to retract on the entire transaction. So says the Gemara, Asal Kameid Rav Huna. The question was brought to Rav Huna. And Rav Huna's comment was, my Evedlach, what could I do to help you? The Le'aknes K'namakni Inshi. You did not act here in a way that a regular Matana Shchimera operates. Because if you would have done it, like a Shchimera does it, Divrei Shchimera K'ksuvim Surim Dami, would add a Kinyan. So then, as we've been learning over an hour Shiurim, a Shchimera could retract if he gets Baruch Hashem better. But what you did here was that besides doing Divrei Shchimera K'ksuvim Kum Surim, you also did a Kinyan. And the fact that you made a Kinyan, as we discussed in our previous year, it brings what you did into the category of being a matanas bari. And once it becomes a matanas bari, a regular healthy person's transaction, of course we know what halacha is, that if a healthy person or if a regular transaction is done, then the halacha is one cannot retract that kinyan. And therefore, here we have to treat this like a kinyan that was made with a healthy person, and that was that's why I can't give you the right to retract. The Rashbam says that based on the Gemaras that we're learning, we can learn a number of rules. One rule we learn is that a matanash shchimera bekula, we gave everything away, but there is a kinyan. The halach is that the person who received the gift it's not considered his, because since a shtar was written, we discussed this in our previous year, and the shtar was not yet transmitted to the person who's supposed to get the shtar, that is an indication that the person did not intend to give it to this person without a shtar. And without a shtar, so since he didn't give the shtar, there's nothing here. If he wrote that on top of doing the Shchimera, he also wrote the Kinnunaminei Moisav Amatanasada. So by adding those words, he's strengthening the position of the person who's getting the gift. And therefore, even if he was a Shchimera who got better, the gift still is a gift. If he wrote a shtar and he gave the shtar to one person, and then he wrote another shtar and gave it to the second person, so then the halacha is that if he ultimately passes away, we learned yesterday, Daitaki Mevatlis Daitaki, the second shtar supersedes the first shtar. And once the second shtar supersedes the first shtar, it will belong to the second person, not to the first person. But if he did a matana shchimera, and not only did he do a matana shchimera, he actually gave it to the first person. So he did also matana spari. So under those circumstances, it becomes completely the property of the first person. And once it becomes completely the property of the first person, the halacha tells us that it's already completely given away. And once it's completely given away, there's no way for him to back off that. Says the Gemara, Hahu matanasa, there was a shchimera that here gave away some of his assets, davakasaba, but in the wording of the shtar, it was written, b'chayim u'b'mavis. So the question, machloikus Rav and Shmuel, is how to interpret those words. Rav amarei k'matana shchimera, it's considered like a matana shchimera, and we keep on saying that matana shchimera is only effective after the person passes away. And secondly, if he gets better, then the halacha is that he could back off from the he could back off. Of course, as the Rashbam right away points out, we're talking about a regular case of Matana Shimra. There was no extra kinyan, because once there's an extra kinyan, we have all sorts of difficulties. But Shmuel Amar, Harei Kumatanis Bari, he can't back off. And the Gemara tries to understand this machlokes. Rav Amar Harei Kumatanis Shimra, it's true like Matana Shimra. Midik Sibay B'Mavis, the fact that he used the word Mavis, he meant to say the Achamisa Kamalei, that this shtar should only be effective after he passes away. Why did he write the word b'chayim? Why the kos b'chayim? Why did he write that b'chayim? He doesn't mean that the kinyan should be effective immediately, like a regular kinyan. He wrote it l'sim b'alma. He wanted to wish himself well, and he wanted to wish himself the chayy that he should live. The Shmuel, on the other hand, holds harei k'matanis bari. It's treated not like a matanis shchimra. The fact that the word b'chaim was written in it means the b'chaim coming. He wants that the transaction to take place already now when he's still alive. I v'hai the kosb of b'mavis. Why did he write the word b'mavis? Says the Gemara, what he meant with the word mavis was k'mad demat of ad oilam. So now we have a question. Should this be treated like a matanis bari, or should it be should be considered like a matanis Shchimera. Amin Adoy, Hilchsko say the Rav, the Locha is like Rav, that this is considered like a Matana Shchimera, and therefore, once he gets better, the Locha is that he could back off. Now, of course, there's an obvious question. As we began this part of the Gemara, we said that the Rashbam says that he only gave away some of his assets. But if he only gave away some of his assets, then it's never Matana Shchimera. So how could anybody suggest that it's treated like Matana Shchimera? Explained the Rishonim that, as we learned, there's another type of Matana Shchimera, where there, even if you did just partial transfer, it's considered like a Matana Shchimera. And that's in the case of Mitzava Machmas Misa. And those Rishonim are going to have to explain that our Gemara is speaking about a case of Mitzava Machas Misa, and therefore this is going to be a case of Mitzava Machas Misa, which halachically is treated like a Matana Shchimera, and that means he could retract if he gets better. However, comments Rava, V'kosba M'chayim, if he wrote the word M'chayim, then Kana, because there's a difference if he used the word b'chayim, or if he used the word michayim. And if he used the word michayim, it's clearly an indication that he wants the kinyan to be effective today. To which Amema says, "Less hilchos kavasei the rava." That is not the halacha. And under all circumstances, whatever way he wrote it, it's going to be considered matana shchimera. Says the Gemara, "Amale Rav Ashi l'Amema, pshita." Isn't it obvious that the halacha is not like Rava? Because ask the Gemara, the Amar Nadoi, we had the Nadoi teaching us, the Hilchos Kavasei the Rav, that it's effective only after he passes away, that this type of shtar is only effective after he passes away, like Matanas Shchimera. And therefore, it shouldn't make a difference if he root B'chaim, or B'mavis, or M'chaim, or Mavis. Answers the Gemara, it's not necessarily correct. Because Ma'at Tema, that even though Rav and Hadoi say that the halacha is like Rav, says that when he uses the word, when he uses the word b'chayim, it means that ubemavus it should be matana shchimera. But maybe when he used the word mechayim, my the Rav, that he means that it should be effective today. That's why Amem had to teach us that there's no difference. Under all circumstances, whether he said b'chaim or whether he said mechaim, it's going to be treated like a matana shchimera. So here our Gemara has spoken about different wording and how the halacha treats the wording. And therefore, as we learned, Rav says that if the document says the words b'chaim and b'mavis, it's treated like a matana shchimera, and if he gets better, he could retract. And moreover, the transaction is not valid until he dies. Why? Because he added the word b'chayim, not because he didn't want that it should be treated like matana shchemira, but because of the circumstances, he didn't want to speak badly about himself, as the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Yotes, teaches us. Al yiftach adam piv l'satan. So since he was going to see b'maves, that it should only be effective after he dies, that's why he added in the word b'chayim, that if he's speaking about his unfortunate passing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him, he should remain healthy. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says that a person who's very ill should say vidui. And he says, "In Amos, if I will pass away, my passing should be a kapara." So ask the Rishash, how could we say such a wording? We just learned as a concept of al diftach piv l'satan. Says the Magen Avraham, says that in fact, he makes the following differentiation. He says a person who's very sick and leaving the world without vidui is certainly something that we want to avoid. Is allowed to say it, even though there is a concern of al tiftach peh l'satan. But somebody who is healthy should avoid using those kind of words. However, says the Magen Avraham, even though he's teaching us don't use that kind of a language, that doesn't mean that a person shouldn't spend some time every day thinking that he will be leaving the world and that will cause him to do tshuva. Says the Gemara, Ha'uda Asla Kamed Rav Nachman Lanado. There was a person that received the Matana Shchemera that had the wording that we're discussing in our shir today, or B'chaim or Mavis, and he came in front of Rav Nachman and Ador, and the question, how is such a document to be treated? Says the Gemara, Shadal Kamed Rav Yimri Ba'aba L'shum Tamya. So Rav Nachman sent this question to Rav Yimri Ba'aba, who was in a place called Shum Tamna. So Rav Nachman said, the reason I sent the Shaila to there, to Rav Yimri Ba'aba, and I didn't give an answer myself, because Hoch Asr the Shmuel, here the question is being asked in Hador. Hador is the place where Shmuel was the Rav, and therefore even though I personally hold like Rav, it's disrespectful that Hecha Nevek Havaseh the Rav, that I should pass like Rav, in the place where Shmuel is the Rav. Says the Gemara another story. Ha'uda Asa the Kameh the Rava. There was a woman that came to Rava, and again, with the same issue, that there was a document that said Mechaim Umamavis, and now the question was that this person, Baruch Hashem, got better, and they wanted to retract. Avalai Rava Kishmatzeh, and Rava paskened like he just said. There's a difference if he used the word b'chayim u'mavis or if he said michayim u'mavis. And here, the document was written with the words michayim u'mavis. And we just learned a moment ago that Rava's opinion is when the words michayim u'mavis are written, then it's certainly matanis bari. Says they want to have a katar delay. That, and this woman was dissatisfied with Rava's psak because she did not want to agree that there should be a distinction if it says b'chaim u'mavis or m'chaim u'mavis. Amalei Rav al Papa Breider of Chanan Safrei, Rav Papa said to his son, Breider of Chanan Safrei, who was his scribe, Zil Kosovla, write for her that she could treat it like a matana shchimera and she could retract the Kosovo, and write at the end of this psak, you should write, Soy chaleim amatam, that we learned the Masechta Bava Metzia, that if Ayin Hei on the base, that if somebody hired workers and then they backed out, when he can't find other workers, he needs other workers, that he could hire other workers or he could fool them to come back. So you should know that even though you're writing this shtar on behalf of the woman to satisfy, anybody who will see those words in the shtar will recognize that's not the correct word. When the woman recognized, when he recognized what Rava was doing here, that Rava was just trying to get him her off his back, Amra, she said, Litba Arbe, the boat of Rava should sink, should drown. And what she said to him was that you think you could fool me? Says the Gemara, what happened indeed was, Amshina Lamana de Rava Bamayim. What they did was they soaked Rava's clothing in water. Because we know that we always have to be concerned that a klala that a person gives may happen. And therefore, instead of Rava really suffering, they told Rava, you should go and soak your clothing in the water. And therefore, that will be perhaps the way that if this klala has to happen, it will happen that way, says the Gemara, but it didn't help. His boat sank. And because, as the Gemara Masechta Megillah teaches us, of Tezvav Amin Aleph, Altei Kilas Hedya Kalabay Necha, anybody who curses is something that I have to be concerned. From here we see, says the Rashbam, that we don't follow the opinion of Rava. Because Rava, as we've been learning, wants to differentiate whether you say B'chaim or B'mavis or M'chaim or M'mavis. The fact that this woman disagreed with Rava, and Rava had to be concerned about a klala, then that's why the Rava was concerned. So the reason Rava was concerned, because he was paskin wrong. So in other words, there's two different ways, explained the Rishonim, of learning this Gemara. One way of learning this Gemara is that Rava's Pesach was correct. But even though Rava's Pesach was correct, there is a concept in Halacha of Al-Tei Klolos Hedjet Kal Beinecha. We always have to be concerned about a curse, even if it's completely unwarranted. The other pshat is that the reason Rava had to be concerned about the klala is because maybe he was deserving the klala, because maybe he paskened incorrectly. And if he paskened incorrectly, that's why he deserves the klala. And the question that the Paiskim discuss is the Shulchan, the Ramah paskens in that somebody who curses a person who's no longer alive is not considered the same as cursing a person who's alive. And the reason is, says Ramosha, when you curse a person who's alive, as we're learning in our sugya, there is a concern of Al-Tei Kilas Hedjikala Beinecha. And maybe that klala that the person is being cursed will come to fruition. And that's why you're not allowed to curse a person. But when the person is no longer alive, so that concern falls away. And since that concern falls away, that's why the Rama says there's less of a concern when you curse a person who's not alive. We've been learning that if a Shchimera gives away all of his assets, and then Baruch Hashem, he gets better, then his gift he could retract. There's a very fundamental machloikus rishonim. When we speak about his ability to attract, does it mean he must actively retract, or does the gift fall away by itself? Says the Mishnah, Lekosovla, but if the document that he wrote does not say Shchimera, that he was a Shchimera, and now we have a debate. Hu amar, the person who wrote the document says Shchimera, Hayisi, I was a Shchimera, and therefore, now that I'm Baruch Hashem better, I'm backing out from this entire transaction. And they say, no, Baruch Hayisa, you were perfectly healthy, and this special rule that a person can back out was only said when a person was a Shchimera, but you're not a Shchimera. So says the Mishnah, Tzarch Lovi Raya, he has to bring a Raya, and then indeed, Shchimera Haya. Then when he wrote this document, he was a Shchimera. Divrei Remeya, that is the opinion of Remeya. Whereas, says the Gemara of Chachamim, the opinion of the Chachamim is Hamoitz Mechaveira Olav Araya, and since this the halach is Moitz Mechaveira Olav Araya, so then the person who's receiving the gift has to prove that the person who gave him the gift was a Bari, and if he can't prove that he was a Bari, then the halach is that he doesn't get to keep these things. So, ask the Mishnah Lamelech. At the end of the day, that there was a shtar. So the fact that there's a shtar indicates that he gave it away. Why are we ignoring the shtar? So Rabbi Chanan says that the fact is that he gave away all of his assets. And most people don't give away their assets. And since most people don't give away their assets, that is an indication or reason to assume that it was a matana shchimura. The Tzois has a different approach to this, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, there's different wording used when a healthy person writes a shtar versus when a shchimura writes a shtar. And what happened here was that neither of those wordings was used in the shtar. And since neither of those wording was used in the shtar, that's why that raises questions. And since it raises questions, we have not a machlokes or a meir rabbanon how to treat the situation. Ha'uma tanasa, says the Gemara, there was a matana shchimura, and said in it, have a kasha about the wording, as we just indicated, that the wording of shtar shchimura says, kar have a kotz of a ramei ba'arsei, as this person was ill and laying in bed. Obviously, very ill. So like kasaba, but there weren't the other words that are written normally in the shchimura included. He doesn't have the words of megoy mari because of his illness, if the lebeis ome, that he passed away. So now the question is, do we have to have a question. What's the question? Do we say that this person, Baruch Hashem, got better and the gift was retracted and then he passed away from a different disease? Or do we say, and therefore it's still considered a matana shchimura, or do we say that he died from this disease and therefore it is belongs the property of the person whom he gave it to? Amar Rabba, says the Gemara, Remes. The fact that he passed away, very kivroi, and the fact that he was buried, mechichalov, that's a proof that he never got better. And since it's a proof that he never got better, so that's why it's considered a matana shchimura. What is this called in halacha? What this is called in halacha is a chazaka dehashta, which means that right now we see that he's not here, and therefore, since we see that he's not here, it makes all the sense that to assume that he passed away, that he was sick before he passed away. For that is the situation with most people, that they get ill before they pass away. And therefore, since we see that he passed away and he's buried, we assume that he was a shchimura, and this is considered a matana shchimura, and there's no reason to assume that he got better. This is actually, like Sura Achronim suggests, a raya, that if he got better, then it would break the fact that it's a matana shchimura. But if the halacha is that a matana shchimura is not broken unless it's explicitly broken, so why are we saying, well, we know he didn't get better? Because if he got better, we would have to be concerned. If we say that even if he got better, he had to explicitly retract, so why is getting better going to make a difference? Amalei Abaya, says the Gemara, says, why are we assuming that just because indeed, unfortunately, he passed away, do we assume that he never got better? I could prove to you that most people do get better. Hashta, or Masfina, when we speak about a boat that drowned, Sherubin Labid, most people on a boat that drowned will perish. Yet, the Gemara Masechta Gittin Daf Chav Ches on the base teaches us that we can't be certain that the person that was on the boat passed away. And what we, the way we treat the person who was on the boat, that means we treat him as a live person, l'chumra, and as a dead person, l'chumra. What does that mean? One example, the most powerful example, is can his wife get remarried? So because we're treating her, l'chumra, as a person who still, as if the husband's still alive, so the halacha is, she can't get remarried. The other question is regarding the eating of truma. If her husband was a kohen and she had children, she would be allowed to continue eating truma. But here, or better said, if she was a bas kohen and there were no children, so she would be allowed to eat truma if her husband died. But we don't know if we should treat him as dead or alive. Since we don't know if we should treat her as dead or alive, the halacha is l'chumra. We won't let her eat truma under the assumption that he is not alive. So it makes the Gemara its point. If there, where there's every reason to assume that he passed away, we don't say so. When we speak in our Gemara about a person who Rachman Shlom was ill, where we know Cholin Shuroiv Cholin L'Chaim, most sick people Baruch Shem get better, Lekoshkein, that we should not be able to completely determine that he certainly died and he was a matanish, that he was a shchimerai and never got better, says the Gemara. So what is this machlokes that we're having here dependent on? According to which opinion the Ravas say that we follow the Chazaka the Hashta, as we said a few moments ago, and the Chazaka the Hashta says that if now he's dead, we assume that he was a shchimera and this is a matanish shchimera. Says the Gemara, fouls the opinion of Nosson. The Tanya, the Braisa says over there that we have a shtar, and again, there's a debate, was this a shtar matanis bari, and therefore it's final, or is matanis shchimera? And the question is, mi maitzi miyad mi, when we have this kind of debate, who is the one that prevails? And I saw that the Rishonim explained what's the wording mi maitzi miyad mi. Because the halacha b'kol ha-toira, since we often say the halacha is ha-moitzi m'chaver all of haraya, we need to determine who is the moitzi. Says the Gemara, who moitzi mi yedehem? The person who gave it, that the person who was the giver could get it back b'loy raya without proving that it was a shchimra. The hein ein mitzim b'yodoy ela b'raya. If they want to be able to prevail and say that it was a matanis bari, they're going to have to prove it was a matanis bari. Divrei Rav Yaakov. That's Rav Yaakov's opinion. Rav Nosson Omer, no. We look at what is the current situation. If the person who gave it is now a bari, so we foul the chazaka, the hashta, and we say that just like now he's a bari, he was a bari when he gave the gift. And therefore, if he was a bari when he gave the gift, then he doesn't have the privileges of a shchimera. And if he wants to say that he was a shchimera and he has a right to back off from this gift, olav lavi rai, he's going to have to prove so. But olav lavi rai, shai shchimera, he's going to have to prove that he was a shchimera. If on the other hand, currently he's a shchimera, so again, we follow the chazaka of chazaka the hashta. And therefore, if they want to say that when he gave the gift, he was a shchimra, alein lavi rai shabari hu. The Rishonim point out, Ritva points out, we're not to understand the Gemara that Reb Nosson holds of chazaka the hashta, and Reb Yaakov doesn't hold of chazaka the hashta, because a chazaka the hashta is a very strong chazaka, but rather explains the Ritva the reason why over here he doesn't explain follow chazaka the hashta, because this item belonged to him first. And since this object or whatever we're speaking about belonged to him first, that gives him a cheskes mamon, which supersedes the chazaka the hashta. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, u'tuma, in a case of tuma, we'll have the exact same machloikis as Rabbi Yaakov Reb Nosson. And the Gemara explains itself. This is a Mishnah Masechta Taharis, Perek Vav Mishnah Zayin. The Mishnah says, Bika, where we have many fields that are encircled by a gate. B'maisachama, in the time where it's the summer, where the field has already been cut and they took out all the grain, it's considered Rishus Hayochid L'Shabbos. That means if somebody carries from there to Rishus Harabim, it's considered a malacha d'oraisa of carrying, and it's considered a Rishus Harabim L'Tumah. There's a halacha that the Gemara Masechta Soita and other places in Shas speaks about often. A Soita is a woman who's been accused that she did an act of adultery. And if she was alone with the person that she was accused with, so she becomes a Soita, and she's not allowed to live with her husband. Now that's a case of a Suffolk Tumah. And the halacha differentiates, the Torah differentiates. If this happened in a secluded area, that we're treating her like a Soita, or if it happened in a public area where it's not. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah there, since there's no grain on the field, so people walk on that field, they don't have any problem walking on that field because it's so open. So it's considered a Shus Harabim, and there's a Suffolk Tumah there will be lenient. Where the grain is growing, and therefore people don't walk there, it's certainly considered a Shus Yochid for Hilchos Shabbos, because even in the time where people walk there, it's considered a Shus Yochid for Shabbos because it's an encircled area. But it's also considered shusayachet for tumah, says the Gemara. Now we're going to have a machlokes Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nosson, where somebody walked into the field and he doesn't remember what time of the year did he walk into the field. According to Rabbi Nosson, we follow the chazaka dahashta, and if the question was brought up in the summer, we're going to treat it like a sofik tumah b'shus rabim, and it'll be tar. If the question is being asked in the winter, it's going to be treated like Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaYochid. According to Yaakov, we don't find the Chazaka Dahashta. And what does that mean? As we quoted the Ritva a few moments ago, it doesn't mean that we don't follow the Chazaka Dahashta. What we have here is another Chazaka. We have a Chazaka that this person is Tahor. And that which is supersedes, not that Rabbi Yaakov disagrees with the Chazaka d'Ashta, but he says if there's another Chazaka operating, it supersedes that Chazaka, and therefore he'll be tar. Says the Gemara, Amarava, Loi Shana, Shaloi Avra Alea, Yemaisa Gishamim. The entire discussion is if this Yemaisa Gishamim have not passed. Avra Avra Alea Yemaisa Gishamim, when if the winter has passed, then it was treated like Shus HaYochid. So once it got the name, it got the status of Rishus HaYochid, and therefore, even though now the question is being asked in the summer, says the Gemara, says Rava, a very bechidish. Once it gets a certain status, it keeps that status, Rishus HaYochid, it's going to be treated as Rishus HaYochid, both for Hilchos Shabbos and both for the halacha of Suffolk Tumah. So our Gemara has been teaching us that we follow the Chazaka d'Hashta. And there's an interesting question which comes up, Rahman Slan. We know that if somebody loses a close relative, so he has to have the halachas of Shiva. But let's say he only finds out about the passing of this relative after 30 days from the passing. That's called a Shmur Rechaika, and he doesn't have to keep Shiva, he just sits down Shiva for a certain amount of time. And now, somebody was advised about his relative passing away, and we don't know when he passed away. Do we say it's within 30 or without 30? So, the Paiskim, the Shas HaTshuvos Maram Mintz, says that he has to keep regular Shiva. Because since this person that we're discussing had a cheskes chai, he had a chazaka that he's alive, we assume that he was alive until the last possible moment that we assume that he was alive. And therefore, the halacha is that we have to keep a regular shiva. The Taz disagrees. And he says that here we don't follow the cheskes chai. Because he says, when is there a halacha that we follow Cheskes Chai? The halacha that we follow Cheskes Chai is when we don't know if a person is alive or dead. So Cheskes Chai says that he's alive. Here we know that the person is dead. And since we know that the person is dead, says the Taz, that we have a chazaka dehashta. And the chazaka dehashta, which we're learning in our Gemara, is that he should be treated like a person who's not alive. There's another question. There's somebody goes to visit in a hospital. And the question is, may a kohen visit in a hospital? Because there are people in the hospital who may pass away, but they have a cheskes chai. And Al Gemara added a new concept. Al Gemara said, roiv cholim l'chaim. Most people who are sick are going to get better. So can a kohen, based on that, roiv cholim l'chaim, go to visit a hospital? So Rav Moshe Sternbach in the Shas of Tshuvas Vin Hugus, Chelik Aleph Yerodei, Simon Tov Reish Ayin Zalun, Zayin, says, well, we have to look at what type of a hospital. He says, if it's a hospital that keeps organs for research purposes, so then he can't rely on any chazakah of Rav Chaim L'chaim. He also says that if it's a hospital that has many patients, and unfortunately there are people who are passing away on a regular basis in the hospital, so even though Roiv Cholim L'chaim, we can't rely on the Roiv Cholim L'chaim to make it that he should be able to visit the hospital and not be concerned there's a Jew that's going to die. Ramosha adds another element to the discussion. And Ramosha says that we have to know what is the status of the patients. Are they Jewish or are they not Jewish? And therefore, if we don't know, then we could maybe rely, especially if it's a chutz l'aretz, that most people that live in chutz l'aretz are not Jewish. And there may be a difference, therefore, if it's a kohen visiting in chutz l'aretz versus a kohen visiting in Eretz Yisrael, a hospital. There's a very famous story known as the Get Mekliva. What happened was that there was a couple that got married in a city that was on the border of between Germany and Holland. And the chassan started acting in a very difficult, in a weird way. And especially Shabbos Sheva Brachas, he didn't participate. And he took the money and ran that he got for a dowry for Nadin and ran to the next town. And he looked very sick. And what happened was that he was called to the Rav, and he wrote, and the Rav said that this is a terrible situation. And he sent this couple to the city of Kliva, which was near where this was taking place, to write a get. And then, because the chassan said he's going to England. The get was done by Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz, who was the Rav of the city of Kliva, and he was the grandfather of the Tveres Yisrael that we have in the Mishnayos. And based on what he discovered, he wrote the get. What happened afterwards, that the family of the chassan, who lived in the city of Mannheim, got very upset. They felt that this was done by coercion on the chassan. They said that there weren't the proper negotiation around the get. And they said that the get is not a good get, because based on the behavior of this man, he was a shaita. And he's a shaita, it's possible to give a get. And this became a very big subject of contention, with Rabbonim of Frankfurt and Mannheim wrote a psak halacha that the get was disqualified, and this woman was still an Eishes Ish. The family of the Kala also went to many Rabbonim to prove that the get was a good get. And the question really is very connected to our sugya, because our sugya, we're saying that we're following this chazaka the hashta. And we learned in our sugya, the Rav Nosson teaches us
that if Shchimera got better, then the halacha is we follow what he is currently. In other words, if we see that he's healthy now, we says Reb Nosson, we say whatever he is now, that is what he was at the time that he gave the get. And that will prove it's a Matanis Bari or Matanis Shchimera. So here too, that we didn't know what is the situation of this person. So should we use his current situation? And the Shagas Aryeh writes that he met this person who wrote the get as he was passing from the city in Germany, Kleve, where the get was written. He was going to London. He passed by the city of Mitz, and the Shagas Aryeh said he spoke with him for 3 days, and he found that he was perfectly well. And therefore, he followed the Chazaka, the Hashta, and therefore, she is the get. The halacha is that there's a good, that the get is a good get, because we follow the Chazaka, the Hashta. This became a very big area of contention, and one of the stories that are said, two stories are said about this, that there was no Rav in the city of Frankfurt for many years because they couldn't find a Rav that was ready to agree with the psak of the Rabbonim, of the original Rabbonim of Frankfurt. And the city of Frankfurt was not prepared to take a Rav to be the Rav in their city unless that Rav would agree with the original psak of the earlier Rabbonim in Frankfurt. And then there's a story that goes that this couple ultimately actually remarried.